here. Yeah. All right. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma salli wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam salima. Alright, so this book is the Ajrumiyya, and the author of the Ajrumiyya, he was, mashallah, really blessed in his work. His name is Ibn Ajurrum. Anyone who knows anything about the Arabic discipline knows this little text, the Ajrumiyya, because it spread so far and wide, so much so that the Hindu writer, or I think he's Hindu, V.S. Naipaul, you heard of him, Hamza? You don't know about him? He's like a Nobel Prize winner, literature. He writes these types of novels that only like a select few people read, but apparently he's a really great writer. So one of the things, he wrote a book on Muslim groups in Malaysia. Okay, and or like little revivalist groups, and he has a page in there where he said that any time there's been ever been a Muslim revival, there's always been a revival of their knowledge, right? Their learning, and any time that there's been a revival of learning, they've always studied the Ajrumiyya, right? They've always studied this little text. They begin with this text, the Ajrumiyya in grammar. So we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted qabool for this text, because literally what's inside of this text is inside of every grammar book, right? It's just that this book, there's some acceptance to it. All right, so this little book. So he died in 723 after the Hijrah, 1332, which is actually a little bit after Imam al-Haddad, a century after Imam al-Haddad. No, sorry about that. I got my dates confused. Way before Imam Haddad. 1332. Imam Haddad died 1721. Imam Haddad is 1634 to 1721. So he's 1332. So way before. He was making Umrah. And while he was sitting in front of the Kaaba, he had this desire that everyone should know a little bit, the basics of grammar. So he wrote this, and he said just out of, to get the barakah of it, he wrote it without looking. His eyes were on the Kaaba the entire time, and he wrote the whole book. It's a little booklet, okay, while his eyes were on the Kaaba. So this type of thing is, anyone who's a talib ilm should know the Ajrumiyya inside out. It doesn't even cover everything of grammar. It doesn't even come close. But it opens the door and gives you like a very good idea about what's going on in grammar. Now, Arabic in general is three disciplines, okay? Just like fiqh, right? You got ibadat and all its subchapters, and mu'amalat and all of its subchapters. That's fiqh, right? Usul, you could divide usul into two categories too. You could do the sources, right? And the rulings. So the five rulings, and then how something is haram. How do we know something is halal? So how do you know something is fard? How do you know something is mandub or makruh? So usul, and then there's a third category of usul, is the rules of a mufti and a mustafti, like the guidelines of how to receive a mustafti and how to answer him, and what are the conditions of a mufti. So usul has these three chapters. Any book of usul you get is going to either look at the sources, they'll take the Quran first, the types of verses, hadith, the sunnah, the categories of the sunnah, right? And so, and then a chapter on qiyas, chapter on ijma', and then chapter on all the lesser sources, okay, of usul. Then a chapter on the five rulings. How do we know what indicates a five ruling? And then the mufti and the mustafti. So likewise, Arabic has the same thing. But the three subjects of Arabic are sarf, nahu, and then balagha. Sarf is the study of the word itself, and how the word could have this metamorphosis into different types of words with different shades of meaning, okay? So this is sarf. And also the verbs, how the word becomes a verb, etc., and the different types of verbs. So you have to memorize a bunch of charts, right? You have to memorize charts for that. Then nahu is the sentence. Nahu is the study of the sentence, okay? So the grammar of the sentence, where you have your verb, then you have your fa'il, okay, the subject, your fi'al, fa'il, and maf'ul bihi, or you have your mubtada and your khabar, etc. Then you have balagha, which is the study of literary techniques that beautify oration and composition. And balagha is where the language develops beyond grammar. Okay, so it's not, so nahu, a good grammatical sentence is a sentence that fits the grammar well, right? But balagha, the goal of balagha, eloquence, is to bring a meaning to you, even if it sometimes transcends the basic grammar rules. That's why poetry has its own rules. Okay, poetry, and these types of things, they always sort of break with basic grammar rules. All right, so the first lesson on page 5, and you can take a translation too. All right. This translation, for anyone who's following online, okay, is basically a good translation. There are a bunch of translations online. There's this one too. If you just look up the Ajrumiya, you could find a bunch of translations. But we're going to work from this little workbook that we put together. Yeah. Take a translation. So, you got your translation? Let me see that book. Oh, this is just the Arabic. Oh, good. You got a little Arabic here with notes, based notes. Okay, so the first lesson is very simple. All right, al-kalam. So what is speech? Al-kalam, and you should try to memorize at least as much as you can from this. Definitely the charts you're going to memorize, but this, in, at least this initial. الكلام هو اللفظ المركب المفيد بالوضع. You know about this, right, Muhammad Ibn?
Yes.
Okay. وأقسامه ثلاثة: اسم وفعل وحرف جاء لمعنى. So الكلام, speech, has four qualities. Number one, all right, it's a lafd. It's got to be spoken. So the origin of the Arabic language is that it's spoken, okay, not written. All right, the origin of the language is it's spoken, not written. Right. Number two, it's murakkab. So you can't just say a word. So what's the opposite of speech? The opposite of speech is little symbols, signs, hand gestures, facial gestures, notes. I don't consider that kalam. It's got to be speech. Murakkab means several words put together. Okay? So you're not going to just say one word. Okay? You're going to say a number of words. And then it's got to be mufid. All right? The opposite of mufid is that the listener, mufid means beneficial, but beneficial here does not mean that the content. It means that you are not waiting for more words to come. So if I was to say, al-ghulam al-saghir, the small boy, right? So you're still waiting. The small boy is what? That's a subject. Where's the predicate? Okay? So, al-ghulam al-saghir, right? Talib jayid is a good student. So now it's a complete sentence. So when he says here mufid, he doesn't mean that you have to benefit from the content. It means here that you're not waiting for more speech to come. Okay? Thirdly, bilwada. Bilwada means here, bilwada al-arabi. And oftentimes in the Arabic language, there can be a word that's left out. And the word that's left out here is al-Arabi, right? In the Arabic language. Okay? I'm trying to get into this Wi-Fi here. All right? Bilwada' al-Arabi. So these are four conditions. Any speech that is outside the Arabic language, they don't consider it Arabic. Therefore, this does have impact on us, for example, when we in salah, right? In right, the dominant opinion is that no speech outside of Arabic is allowed in the salah. Okay, so names though are an exception. Obviously, people's names is outside of this. Also, what are they when they talk about Arabic in the Quran, and they say, well, there's the Quran says it's in an Arabic language, but there are many, many Arabic non-Arabic words. A lot of non-Arabic words in the Quran. But the answer to that is that what the Quran considers Arabic is what was accepted, what entered the tongue of the Arabs in that time. right? So what entered the tongue of the Arabs in that time? So there are a lot of examples. Imam Suyuti gives a lot of examples of Arab, not Persian words, East African language, right? Like Ethiopic language, other words that entered into the Arabic language at the time. So that's considered Arabic. Now the Aqsam is that what happened was that complaints started to come in the second year, or in the second generation, meaning after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complaints started to come from abroad that the new generation of Arab kids, in other words, born Muslim kids, that never experienced their time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their whole life is that Islam has already spread far and wide, and that there are now Persians, other people, nationalities coming into the community, living with the Muslims, learning the language themselves. So these kids are born interacting with these. This is like children of Sahaba, right? Of younger Sahaba, their children. So people started to notice that these kids, they are butchering the grammar. Umar ibn Khattab received a letter, right, that said, that the scribe had written, Min Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, right, ila Umaru ibn al-Khattab, right? It's totally incorrect of grammar, right? So Umar became very concerned. This concern developed until finally Sayyidina Ali came up with a solution. And this is sort of like one of the narrations that's in all the grammar books. And then some guy who's being annoying is going to say, well, did it really happen or is it really like a myth? But it happened, okay? Because it's the only sort of trace of who came up with the idea of Arabic, of this breakdown. So Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib went to a very intelligent scholar that was in his circle. His name was Abu al-Aswad al-Du'li, okay? And he said to him, break down the language, all right, name the names and the doers and that which connects the name to the door, right? So that is the three parts of the language. Every word in Arabic is divided into one of these three. It's either an ism, and the definition of an ism is something that points to its something that has meaning in itself. And then the fi'l is something that has meaning in itself, but it's connected to time. Meaning that when you say a fi'l, it must either be past, present, future, or command tense. It has to have a tense. Thirdly, harf. Harf has no meaning in itself, but lends meaning to another word. So that's a harf. So for example, fi, in. You cannot conceptualize inness without two objects. There has to be something inside of something else. All right, so that's a harf. Now, the ism is unique in a couple ways. Namely, anything that receives khafd or jar. All right, khafd slash jar is noted by the kasra. Okay, kasra. Ya noon, okay, kasra and ya noon, or ain if it's dual, but of course in and ain can also be markers for nasib. We'll get to that later. The next one is at tanween. The ism is the only type of word that can receive tanween. A harf will never receive double fatha, double kasra, double dhamma. And a fi'l will never receive double fatha, double kasra, or double dhamma. Right? Tanween. Right? And next, دخول الألف واللام. If alif lam can enter in upon a word, then that word is an ism. It is not a fi'l or a harf. You can never have alif lam entering upon a harf or entering upon a fi'l. Okay? Alright? And huruful khafd, the Prepositions, certain what we call in English prepositions, huruf al-khafd, will enter before a word. That word will always be an ism. It will never be a fi'l. Min, ila, an, ala, fi, rub, al-ba, wal-kaf, wal-lam, wa huruf al-qasam, wa hiya al-wa, wal-ba, wa-ta. So min, from, ila, to, an, regarding or through, ala, above, okay, or about, fi, in, rubba, perhaps, alba, with, wal kaf, like, wal lam, to, and then the huruf, okay, or the particles of oaths, al oaths, waw, and ba, and ta. The ta, the harf al qasim of the ta, can only enter upon the lafdul jalala of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, huruf al qasim. Again, حروف القسم واو الباء والتاء. And the rules of قسم are known. That قسم can only be by for us, the creation, by Allah, or any of His attributes, or any of His names. You can make oaths by any of His names or attributes. Okay? But the تاء can only be used to make an oath by Allah, the word Allah, عزّ وجل, لفظ الجلالة. Okay? And the خالق, the creator, makes oaths by all his creation, any of his creation. Washams, right? Watin, Wazaytun, okay? And also the statement of Allah that He will not give an oath. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة. لا أقسم بهذا البلد. Okay? Is greater in effect than the actual oath. Okay? Actual oath. Right? Now, the next one is the fi'l. وَالْفِعْلُ يُعْرَفُ بِقَدْ وَالسِّينَ وَسَوْفَ وَتَأْتَنِي the second. The fi'l is known by qad. Anytime you see the word qad, okay, qad is a particle of emphasis. It's a harf of emphasis. Okay? If the word after qad is a past tense verb, qad is only going to come in on two things, a past tense verb or a present tense verb, right? Present slash future. If qad came on a past tense, that emphasizes that it has happened. If qad comes upon a present tense verb, qad yati, it means maybe. So in front of a past tense verb, it's a harf of emphasis. In front of a present tense verb, fi'al mudari', it is a harf of meaning perhaps. قَدْ يَأْتِي. Right? The present tense verb, of course, you know, begins with أَنَيْتُ. أَلِفْ نُون يَا أُرْتَى. Right? قَدْ أَفْعَلْ. I might do it. قَدْ يَفْعَلْ. He might do it. قَدْ نَفْعَلْ. We might do it. And قَدْ تَفْعَلْ. She might do it. Alright? Now comes seen and sofa. Seen and sofa transform the فعل مضارع from meaning the present to meaning the future. Right? قَدْ يَفْعَلْ. All right? سَوْفَ يَفْعَلْ or سَيَفْعَلْ. He will or she will seen وَسَوْفَ. And their effect is one, basically. They transform a verb from being the present tense to being the future tense. وَتَاءِ التَّأْنِيثِ السَّاكِنَةِ. The only time that you see a word ending with تاء with a sukoon, we call that ta at-ta'neeth as-sakina, which means the feminine ta that has a sukoon on it. And it refers to, in the conjugation, that a woman or a female did something, such as fa'alat. It's always going to be past tense. Okay? She did fa'alat. Okay? And that will indicate that something is a verb. Right? وَالْحَرْفُ. And the harf, very simply, now that we have identified two, you don't need to identify the signs of the third. Right? مَا لَا يَصْلُحُ مَعَهُ دَلِيلُ الْإِسْمِ وَلَا دَلِيلُ الْفِعْلِ. That which doesn't have upon it any effect, either it doesn't have the sign of the ism or the sign of the fi'l. So if it's not an ism and it's not a fi'al, then by default you don't need to define the harf, right? You don't need to give signs of the harf. As long as you know it's not an ism and it's not a fi'l, then everything else is going to be a harf. Okay? Alright, so then you have in the booklet here, which I think we need someone who's going to make copies. Muhammad Ivan, you're going to make copies of this? Make a copy each. Could you each make a copy of this?
Yeah.
Take the book today and swing over to the Staples and then make a copy and have them bind it.
Okay.
So she could take the bind off, run it through the machine, and then bind it and rebind it all. If you can each make a copy, then we'll have four copies to go around. And that'll be your tuition. Assalamu alaikum. Kayf halak? How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Everything's good? I could tell you that I was at home. I had to visit my mom.
Because the Qadi told me he's going to go. I said, well, if he goes, then I'll change my plan.
I had to visit family, so.
No, that's better. Yeah, mom is before.
Yeah. Okay, so you got your questions now. You got to answer these questions. The way the book is open to page 4, the way this book is then is there's a text, examples, and practice questions. And then what we could do is we could take the Asbab al-Nuzul book. What is it? Would you do with the Asbab al-Nuzul book? And we could do some reading. Actually, we'll do our reading through the fiqh, through the risala. The risala will be our reading. After, when is Dhuhr today? 1:15 or 1:30? 1:15? All right. So we'll break for Dhuhr, and then we're going to come back, and our Arabic reading will be our fiqh. Risala to Ibn Abi Zayd. That's why they say risala for youth or beginners read for Arabic is actually preferable to study than Ibn Ashir, not from the content particularly, but from the aspect that you could read prose, very simple prose. Whereas Ibn Ashir is poetry, right? So you can learn your Arabic and you can learn your fiqh at the same time. Alright, so that's lesson number one. And you have to answer the questions. Alright? Alright, take that. Do that. Do lesson number one. And we'll come back after Dhuhr for...